on Good Friday, went to the cross. But the night before he went to the cross, he gathered with his disciples for one final meal, for a last supper together, to celebrate actually the Passover meal together. And I have no doubt that the first thing that they did in celebration of the Passover was to light the Passover candles. And so tonight, we've lit the Passover candle to add to all these other Passover candles that we have here tonight. That's always the starting place of a Seder meal, of a Passover meal. And I believe that Jesus and his disciples lit that candle. And it's in preparation, because we pray for the illumination of the Lord upon our hearts and minds tonight as we celebrate. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me, and we're going to pray a prayer that the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, will illuminate our hearts and help us to understand the meaning of what's taking place here tonight. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we look to You tonight for that which only You can really do, Lord. That is to illuminate our hearts and minds with the light of Your Spirit and to show us the truth and the reality of what You've done for us in Christ. Lord, it's a vast story that stretches back through the years, through the millennia, Lord, to the early days of what You did with Your people, Israel, and the promises that You made of the Messiah that would come, and how You fulfilled that promise in Christ. And now here we are, Lord, to celebrate. Would You help us to enter into the full meaning of Christ tonight on Good Friday, so that on Easter Sunday we might also understand the totality of what Christ means for us in His resurrection. We thank You, Lord. We commit this time to You now. In Jesus' name, amen. To get the full meaning of Easter Sunday, we have to start here. We have to start on Good Friday. It's a package deal. It all comes together. And to really get the full meaning of Good Friday, we have to go to the Passover meal. We have to understand, because the symbolism of Good Friday is all tied up in that Passover meal that Jesus Christ had with His disciples. Pastor Jonathan shared with us on Sunday morning a message from Luke that had to do with that final meal that Christ celebrated with His disciples. So I'm going to read to you from that passage once again, from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 22. And we're going to hear once again this account of Christ celebrating the Last Supper. It says in Luke 22, 14, "When the hour came, Jesus and His apostles reclined at the table. And He said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' And after taking the cup, He gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink it again. I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of Him who is going to betray Me is with Mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays Him.'" Jesus celebrated a Passover meal with His disciples. That Passover meal, the Seder meal, has been celebrated for thousands of years. And there are Passover meals taking place all around us right now. And that's as it should be. But what's interesting is the elements of the Passover meal are so filled with meaning. If you've ever had an opportunity to experience a Seder meal or a Passover meal, you know how amazing it is and how it's filled with all these different elements of meaning. There are 15 different parts to a Passover meal, a Passover celebration. We're going to be looking at just a few of those tonight. And all of them are designed to bring out the full meaning of our redemption and what God has done for us. And they all really apply to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why He celebrated that meal with them. There are four cups that are set out for the Passover meal. And so we have here four cups on our table. Four cups. And in the Gospel of Luke, there are two of them that are mentioned. You might have noticed when we just read the Gospel of Luke that it mentioned twice Jesus taking the cup. Jesus took, of the four cups, Jesus took two. We are not positive which two Jesus took, but I believe that Jesus took the first and He took the third and made special reference to them. They may have partaken of the second as well, but He made reference, I believe, to the first and to the third. The first cup, right after the lighting of the Passover candle, the next thing that happened was the first cup. That first cup is known as the cup of thanksgiving or the cup of blessing. Sometimes it's also called the cup of sanctification. And you know what that cup is designed to do? It's designed to prepare our hearts. It's preparation. We begin by giving thanks. We begin by just thanking the Lord for His goodness. But you know, it's interesting because it sort of has a double meaning. It's called the cup of thanksgiving, but also the cup of sanctification. And literally, it's the word kadosh in the Hebrew, which means holiness or to be sanctified. And I like to think of it as the cup of holiness. Sanctification, holiness. And all that means is that this thing is of God. Anything that's holy, it's of God. The first cup that Jesus took when He gave thanks, it was the cup of holiness. And it's the acknowledgement that this thing is of God. God is at work. It's about God's promise. It's about God's plan. It's about God's power. I want you to prepare your hearts tonight. You need to know something. What's happening here tonight, it's about God's power, God's plan, and God's promise of redemption in Jesus Christ. We're going to prepare our hearts with that. At the Passover meal, when that first cup is taken, there's a verse that's quoted. And the verse that's quoted is from where? The book of Exodus, of course. And it's from Exodus chapter 6. So let me read to you this verse from Exodus chapter 6. In verse 6, it says, "Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God, and you will know that I am the Lord who has brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." And so when the Passover meal takes place, they would always go back to Exodus chapter 6 and remember, God said, I am the Lord, and I am the Lord who will set you free. This thing is of the Lord. Here's what we want to experience tonight. We want to experience the miraculous power of Jesus Christ to set us free. The beginning of this week, we prayed for a miracle. We prayed. I hope you prayed. I just led everyone in a prayer at the end of our service on Sunday. Expect a miracle. Expect God to do something. I want you tonight to expect the Lord to do something. Something dramatic. Something powerful. But we need to prepare our hearts for that. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to sing a couple of songs just to help us enter in a little bit more. We're going to sing a song about God's plan, how long ago God had something planned, and that plan is redemption. We're going to sing a song that looks back to the fact that God did things in ancient times past with Israel, but that we tonight are expecting the Lord's power to be with us right here in this time and this place through Jesus Christ. Let's worship the Lord and prepare our hearts. And may the Lord come and meet us tonight as we worship Him, as we focus on Christ. First, we get prepared. We get an attitude of worship. We acknowledge the Lord. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He wants to work in our lives. The next thing that needs to happen is we have to get in touch with our hurt, with our need. We have to feel our plight before the Lord for this night, for this weekend, to make sense at all. And so in that Passover meal, there are several elements that come next. Each one of them is designed to help the people get in touch with their need, with their plight in life. And so the next thing that took place was the washing of the hands. And so they would each come to the bowl of water and they would wash their hands off. And it was a reminder of their need to be cleansed, to be separate. To come to God, you have to be clean. There are two times in the Passover meal when hands are dipped in water for cleansing. It is most likely that in one of those spots is where Jesus got up from the table, laid aside his outer garment, girded himself with a towel, and began to wash their feet. Interesting. Let me read to you from John chapter 13 in verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing and wrapped a towel around His waist. And after that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. And He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, "Lord, are You going to wash my feet?" So that's not part of the program here. And Jesus said, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." The washing of the feet. You know, Jesus, I believe, takes every part of that Last Supper, that Passover meal, and He intensifies it. He takes it to the next level. That washing of the hands becomes the washing of the feet as well. That need for cleansing, and He wanted the disciples to feel it. And so He girded Himself with a towel. He began to wash their feet. Very intense indeed. And not just intense, but applicational. The Lord wants us to do something with all this. And so later in verse 12, when He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them. "You call Me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." The Lord says, you need to do this in your life. Let me tell you something about tonight. You've come here to celebrate Good Friday. You're hearing about the Passover. You're going to hear about the work of Jesus on your behalf, the amazing thing Christ has done for you. You need to know something tonight. If you are touched by the cleansing work of Christ in your life, then the only response you can have is to share His love with those around you. It's not a private matter. We gather together. We have this experience. The Lord says, "Now look at what I'm doing. I'm cleansing you. I want you to do this one for another." Humble yourself. Give. Love. Serve. Tonight you're going to come forward and you're going to meet the Lord. The Lord is going to give you renewal, redemption, forgiveness, grace. Freely you receive, please freely give. Become a person of Christ, a follower of Christ who will go out and share that same radical love with others. And so the washing of the hands, the washing of the feet, getting in touch with our plight, we need to be cleansed. But the next thing that took place was the eating of the bitter herbs dipped into the salt water. And so here I go. And the bitter herbs, we have parsley here. There's two parts in the Seder meal where Tina got a lot of parsley. I don't need this much. There's two parts in the Seder meal where there's herbs, bitter herbs. And parsley, there's horseradish later. So this is easy going right here. And so the bitter herbs, and you take them and you dip them in salt water, of all things. Here's some salt water. If you've ever been at a Seder meal, you know what an absolute taste explosion this is. Here we go. Oh, man. Amen. Bitter herbs and salt water. To bring the people back in touch with the bitterness of slavery. The bitterness of their slavery and their bondage and the salt water, reminding them of the tears that were shed in that time. Here's what needs to happen tonight. We need to get in touch with the bitterness of bondage. We need to be in touch with the tears, the pain, the hurt of life. That's the only way that redemption can ever make sense in our lives. This isn't a game. This is real. We live in a hurting world. We each have pain in life. I want you tonight to be in touch with that. You need to be cleansed. Absolutely, you need to be cleansed in your life. There's sin in our lives. But there's hurt and there's pain. And there's bondage in our lives as well. And maybe you've experienced in the past different things in your life that you've been set free from. Well, praise the Lord. But can you take a little time and remember so that the gratitude might well up in your heart? A little bit later in the ceremony of a Passover, they have again the bitter herbs, the horseradish, and they have the karasheth, which is a kind of a reddish mixture, which is supposed to remind them of the mortar that they put in when they laid the bricks to make the pyramids, the mortar. It's like, go back, remember what it was like to be in that place of bondage. Get in touch with it in your life. And then there's the matzah. And the matzah is where things start to get a little mysterious, to be honest with you. It's kind of mysterious. The matzah loaves. Jesus took bread and he broke it. Well, the matzah, here's the way it is. In a Seder meal, in a Passover meal, there are three loaves. And the three loaves, one, two, three, are bound together in a napkin. And the explanation is that three loaves are bound together in order to show unity. There's three in one. Now, I know that in Judaism, they're not thinking the way that I am. But it is kind of mysterious, isn't it? There's three bound together in a unity. And in the Passover Seder, they tell you this is what it's about. It's about unity. And at this point in the meal, the middle loaf is taken. The center loaf is taken from the middle and it's broken. That bread is broken and this one is returned. And then this other part that's broken is taken and is actually hidden away. Interesting. This broken bread is taken and hidden somewhere. don't watch. It's all very mysterious. There's three in one there, and the center one is brought out and broken. And then hidden away. And later, it will be unveiled. It will come back again after a little period of time. Kind of interesting, isn't that? And so, there is the broken bread. And it is reminding us also of brokenness. Of our brokenness. The brokenness of the world. I was reading on a Passover site this week about all these different elements, and there's all these questions. Why do we live in a broken world? Why are there so many broken people? Why is there so much hurt in the world? All that was related to the broken bread. Rightfully so. Is there brokenness in your life? Brokenness in your world? Brokenness in your heart? Does God enter into our brokenness? Does He feel our brokenness? Does He experience our brokenness? One more element that helps us to get in touch with our plight, and that is the story of redemption is retold. So at this point in the Passover meal, there's the telling of the story. And a question is asked. It starts off with usually a child asking a question. Why is this night different than all other nights? And it's a setup. And then the leader answers the question and says, well, this night is different than all other nights because our forefathers were slaves in the land of Egypt. And it goes through and tells about the bitterness of their bondage and just tells the story. But God delivered us from that bondage. God worked a miracle. It is the miracle of redemption. And so that story is told, after which the second cup is taken and is drunk from, the second cup. In the story, it all comes together. The brokenness of life, the bitterness of bondage, the need for cleansing, all of that, and the miraculous plan and the work of God, it all comes together. Now, here's what we're going to do tonight. I want to ask you to get in touch with your own experience of hurt and need and brokenness in life, and we're going to put that together with the redemption of Jesus Christ, with the story of redemption, because we know that the story goes on, it goes forward. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has come into the world for you and for me to pay for our sins, to give us cleansing, to heal our broken hearts, to feel our pain. Jesus Christ on the cross. So tonight I want to put it together. Here's what we're going to do to get in touch with our plight. There's a piece of paper on your seat there, which you may have tossed on the floor or something, but there's a piece of paper there, and on that piece of paper, it gives you a space to write. And it quotes a verse where Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." It is finished. What I want you to do tonight is I want you to take a few minutes. We'll have a special song, and during that song, I want you just to think. I want you to think about the hurts of your life, either past or present. I want you to think about the sin in your life, either past or present, that either you feel has been cleansed or that needs to be cleansed. Think about the brokenness of life. And I would like for you to write on that piece of paper something that is in that category of your plight, of your hurt, your brokenness, of your sin, and to write it on there. And I'm going to ask you later to come forward when you have communion, and just to leave it here with the Lord. And as an act of faith, just to say, I'm bringing it to the cross. Okay, I'm in touch with this, and I feel it. And now I'm bringing it to the cross because Jesus will meet me there. And this thing will be finished. Jesus said it is finished. Isn't that awesome? Don't you want that thing to be finished? Whatever that is. And so let's listen now. Special song. As you do, I'm going to say a prayer before we start, and I'm going to ask the Lord to speak to you, and you just take some time with this, and hopefully you'll feel it. Let's pray. Lord, how marvelous is this sort of parable, Lord, that we find in this meal. The plight of your people illustrated and felt and experienced and remembered. Now, Lord, we want to enter into that. We want to remember. We want to feel, Lord. Because as we do, we're getting set up, Lord, for the story of redemption in our own lives. So now send your Spirit. Illuminate, Lord, our hearts and minds, just like that candle brings light. Illuminate us by the Spirit to know what we should claim tonight as something that you have taken care of by your finished work. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The next thing that we need to do is we need to partake of the meal. And so they did. They had a meal together. They sat down and they partook of the lamb. And as it said in Luke, they reclined together. There are questions asked at the Passover meal. One of the questions always asked is this: why on this night do we recline, when on all other nights we either recline or we eat sitting? And the answer comes back: we recline on this night because we are free. And in the ancient world, to eat while reclining was a symbol of freedom, because you would recline on pillows if you were free and eat, and the slaves would stand to serve you. And so we have some pillows here to remind us of the fact that they reclined. as sort of a symbolic expression of their freedom. But oh, the irony of it, because they actually weren't free at all. They weren't free at all. Year after year, having that Passover meal, reclining as though they were free, while dominated by a foreign presence, a foreign army, the Roman soldier, the Roman Empire. Not to mention the sin of their own hearts and their own lives. But the next thing you need to do is you need to partake of that meal. And so they did. They partook of the meal, and the very last thing that happens in that meal, final thing that happens in the meal, is what? What did we forget about? Oh, that hidden piece of bread. I wonder where it could be. Here it is. It's called the aphikoman, and it means that which comes after. Some people think that it means like dessert. It comes after the meal. It's dessert. It's the final thing. It's this piece of bread. But others think that it just means that which comes after, because it's that which we're waiting for. It's that which we're hoping for. It's that that our hearts are longing for. That which is hidden away and we can't see and we wish we had so desperately. And it's going to come. And we're waiting. And we're hoping. And so, coming out from hiding, from being lost, comes this miracle of redemption. And so, this is the part in the meal, I believe, where Jesus, now the meal being ended, they would take again this piece of bread, this matzah. And I believe that Jesus then took this broken piece of bread and yet broke it again. And he took this and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And I believe that Jesus is now focusing everything on this final part of the meal, because immediately after this taking of the bread again and this breaking of the bread came the third cup. And in Luke it tells us that after the meal, he took the cup and he said, "Take and drink, for this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." The Lord Jesus Christ says you need to partake of the meal. But the meal, it's not just the lamb anymore. It's not that whole thing. Jesus takes everything and he projects it forward and he says, "This now is the meal." The meal is that bread, that missing, hidden, broken piece of bread. That mysterious piece of bread, that's the meal. And he says, "That broken piece of bread, that's me. That's my body. That's my life on a cross. And this cup, this is the cup of a new covenant in my blood." And he says, "This is the meal. You need to partake of this meal because there's life in it." And that's what we're going to do tonight. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 11, in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And that's what we're going to do tonight. We prepare our hearts. We get in touch with our plight, with our need. And then we come and partake of the meal. And the meal is life. There's forgiveness. There's cleansing. There's healing in the meal. It's the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's Good Friday. It's Jesus on a cross, dying for us, being our Passover lamb, bringing redemption, the power of God. This is a holy night. It's holy, Kadosh. It's holy. And I want you to experience the holiness and the power and the forgiveness of Christ. It happens by faith. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to worship the Lord tonight. And as we worship, we're going to invite you to come forward. And I want you to bring that little piece of paper that has that issue or issues on it, those things, those hurts, those pains, sins, whatever they are. And I want you to just lay them at the cross. We have a little basket. Just put them in the cross. You can crumple that thing if you want. You can rip it to shreds. I don't care what you do. Just deposit it right there. Just put it at the cross. And then come to one of our communion stations here and take a piece of the bread and take the cup and partake of the meal. And as you do, just take a minute and thank the Lord. We'll just be singing and worshiping. You can just take a minute and in your own heart, thank the Lord. Say, Lord, I trust you. I'm leaving that thing at the foot of the cross and I'm trusting you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Redeemer. Lord, please touch me with your power tonight. Because I need it, Lord. I need it in my life. And worship the Lord. We're going to listen to a special song once again, and just to help us to kind of prepare our hearts. And after that special song, then we'll just worship. And you, when you'd like to, you just come down, and everyone's going to come down the center aisle so that we don't have a big traffic problem. So come down. So I guess you have to go around. Come down the center aisle, and we'll go back around like this. And we'll come to the table of the Lord and have that meal. And so, let's pray and then we'll hear this song. Thank you, Lord. Thanks again, Lord, for all this meaning. And we pray now, Lord, that as we come to the table, the bread and the cup, Lord, that we might find ourselves at the center of the story of redemption as you transferred all of it unto yourself. At the cross, your broken body and shed blood. And may we find tonight, Lord, the miracle power of Christ at work in our lives, granting forgiveness, healing broken hearts, taking our pain, sharing, Lord, in all of that, and lifting up our heads in faith. Thank you, Lord. Bless tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And
So we partake of the meal. We do this in remembrance of our Lord and what He's done for us. And we take it with us. Take it with us. You know, the Christian believer always lives from these two things. We always live from Good Friday and from Easter Sunday. We always bear with us the cross of Jesus Christ. We have to. The Lord said, take up your cross and follow. The Lord said, if I've done this, you also likewise should do for one another. Lay down your life in love. So we must live from the cross. And that's part of what it means to partake of the meal. And then as we do, we also live in the hope of resurrection. And so the fourth and final thing that we need to do tonight is we need to determine to live in hope. We must live in hope. Jesus, in that night of that Last Supper, said some really interesting things. And one of the things that Jesus said, if we go back to that passage, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Do you remember in the book of Exodus in our studies how they had that meal on the mountain? And we said that that meal became a symbol of God's intention for His people that they would actually live in His presence and feast in His presence. And Jesus says at that Passover meal, I really have been wanting to have this meal with you. And He says basically this now is going to project into the future, the ultimate future. Someday, we're going to sit together at a banquet in the kingdom of God that is so rich and so amazing. And it is that night, that Good Friday night, that makes it all possible. And so we determine to live in hope. Back in that passage that I shared with you from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, where Jesus took the bread and He took the cup, it says right after that, it says, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Until He comes. So we have this kind of dual thing going on. We look back, but simultaneously, we look forward in hope. So now, the cross becomes the center point for us. We always look back and we say, this is where our redemption was accomplished. But we always look forward because we say Jesus rose on the third day and He's setting up a feast that's going to be mighty fine. He's going to prepare a place. He's going to prepare a meal. And we're going to partake of that meal. And so, certainly it's not inappropriate for us to conclude by reading from the book of Revelation. In chapter 19 and verse 6, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. And fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. And then the angel said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are true words of God. There will be a feast in heaven. There will be a feast in that ultimate time that we look forward to. And it's awesome. We're all invited to that. Every one of us is invited to that. And the way that we get to that meal is by partaking of this meal, by living in faith in Jesus Christ. Living from the cross of Christ as the center, and living in the hope of the resurrection of Easter Sunday. So here we are, right at the heart of our faith. Tonight, tomorrow, Easter Sunday, Jesus has been taken and His body placed in a tomb. The bread of life has been hidden away. The broken body of Christ has been hidden away. That which we long for is missing. But on Sunday morning, He's coming out. On Sunday morning, the bread of life reappears. And we believe that. It's a holy thing. It's a sacred thing. It's amazing. I hope you feel the power of it. I hope you believe it in your heart, because God wants to do miracles in our lives.